Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, radio show ministry hosted by Stan Wadsworth. The show is an opportunity to study God's Word together through careful inspection and wholesome dialogue. Whether calling in or in listening, we welcome our listeners to prepare their hearts and minds for learning that is for living, according to God's Word. Now let's hear from our host.
Hey, you guys. Welcome back to another session of Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Tech Talking Religion. I'm having microphone problems. I'm actually using the microphone straight from the computer, so I don't know how the audio is going to sound on this, but we're going to give it a shot anyway. Our topic for today is something that I've been doing a little dialogue with others, and it's something I felt like we needed to talk about a bit. And that is, what makes Christianity any different than any other religion? Is Christianity really unique, or is it just one of the many roads of a path to truth, as like many say? Unique among other religions, in terms of using the word unique, Christianity makes several claims that others don't. Other religions believe that you can reach up to God and grasp hold of him through our own efforts of being good or of, doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, being, you know, moralistic and having compassion and sympathy for other people, which that is part of the Christian experience as well, but it's not the foundation. Christianity is the only religion where God reaches down to mankind. God is the one that reaches down to us. God is the one that touches our hearts and gives us the gift of faith to be able to believe in the Jesus story. God is the one that sent his son because we are sinners, and that he saw that there was no redemption for us in and of ourselves after we sinned against the good Lord. And he provided it out for us in the name of Jesus. So Christianity is unique in that way as well. God reaches down to us, and we'll see more of that as we talk a little here as we go on. Other religions are systems of do's and don'ts. I've talked to some of my Muslim brothers, and the list of do's and don'ts and the turns and twists that it makes is, like, overwhelming. Whereas with Christianity, it's about not the religion and not the religion, but the relationship with God. So Christianity is unique in that way. It's about a relationship, a genuine relationship that you live out day by day with the living God. It's not just a simple knowledge of God. It's a relationship that you establish, and you learn God, and you learn to love God as that relationship, meaning the days of your life go on. So in Christianity, it's about relationships. It's not just about what we know. It's about the relationship of the one we come to know. So that's what makes Christianity unique. Thirdly, is the Christianity is looks to the Bible as the singular source of truth, as the Word of God. Scripture tells us that it's God-breathed. Yes, it is written by man. And that's where a lot of times the argument can stem from the fact that Christianity is a religion that was written by man, but it's the inspired word of God. And see, for those that believe the gospel story, then it is, in fact, the Word of God, and that he can be found in his Word, and his Word is his Word, just like our Word is our Word when we say something. If that's his Word in written form, that's what Christians believe. And so we believe that it's a reliable truth. We believe that it's a reliable God with guideline. We believe that it accurately shows us who God is. He reveals himself through his Word. So that's another unique characteristic about Christianity. And finally, and most important, is that the most amazing event of all of human history occurs in the Bible, the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we all know and believe in that, that he is our salvation and that what we deserve, he took so that we can have the grace to be with him one day, according to his word. Some other forms of religion, and I've not necessarily studied, but have had encountered a great many, have systems of works. And I mentioned it briefly a moment ago, things that we should do and shouldn't do to avoid, being found unacceptable to the Lord, doing things that we deem, I guess, would make us good enough to please God and to merit his favor. Well, that's not the Christian experience. The Christian experience, on the other hand, is based on biblical principle that we can never be good enough to be in the presence of the perfect and holy God. Isaiah 64:6, I know it's Old Testament scripture, but everything is applicable because the Bible is like a series of a puzzle, and you put the pieces of the puzzle together. And the Bible says that we should study God's word precept by precept, word by word. So everything is relative. Just like in a history book, an American history book, or another country history book, the history of a people is important to knowing who they are. So with us, even though this is Old Testament scripture, it was written over 4,000 years ago, it still applies to mankind today. See, 4,000 years sounds like a lot to us, but to God, 4,000 years is like one day. He doesn't live in time. So this is applicable to us as well. And in Isaiah 64:6, the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, we have all, talking to the people that he was talking to, become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. In some translations, it says a filthy rag, which can be a reference to a woman's menstrual pad. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, in other words, our sins and wrongdoings, like the wind, take us away. Of course, not closer to God, but away. So this was God's summation of man, of the character of mankind in those days, and it's applicable today. We'll fast forward to the New Testament and see what I'm telling you is true here in a moment. In Galatians 3:1, we have to look at Scripture. I encourage my readers to always go to your Bible and see if what I'm telling you is true. And always go back and listen to this later. In Galatians 3:1-29, I'm not going to recite the whole thing, but what I'm telling you is this particular Scripture describes the purpose of the law being the commandments, and the things that the people of the Old Testament were to live by, their laws, which showed them, by the way, to be separate, a separate people than the people that they lived around. They worshipped a separate God. They behaved in a separate manner, and they ate separate foods, and they worshipped in a separate way. So that's what, in great part, what a lot of this law was to teach the people of those days, the people of Israel, how to behave and show themselves different, improve and sanctify from the people around them, and also to be like God, because he is our template. Be ye holy as I am holy. So these things were to, not laws to bond, put people in bondage, but to show them that, in fact, you can't live to this degree. Even though in the Old Testament Jesus hadn't come back yet, he was coming. And so, even in those days, God was always to show people how unworthy you are. Who can never lie? Who can love God with all of their heart? Who can love on your enemy? By God loves us, and being separated from him, we are in fact his enemies. So these are the reasons why that the Bible tells us that in Galatians, again, 3:1-29, that no one, by observing the law, in other words, by doing right, even the things that God told you to do, it's impossible. You can't do them because, like we just saw in the And yet, in the Isaiah scripture, that God considers us our goodness, whatever goodness we may have, and that it's not that we don't have any goodness, but he doesn't consider that goodness good enough to be in relationship with him, in good standing with him. We need an intermediary, and in this case, it's Jesus. So, in Galatians 2:16, it's clear, it makes my point clear, starting in 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, so that we also have believed in Jesus Christ. So we also, Paul is saying, have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified or set right by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because works of the law, by works of the law, no one will be justified. In other words, made right. And for those in the spiritual realm, what we're talking about is right standing with God. That broken relationship that Adam and Eve stored becomes made right. That separation from God no longer exists. And all we have to do is have faith. So what makes it so difficult? I believe in God. Hold on a minute. You know, the Galatians story tells, it shows the impossibility. It's one of the scriptures. It shows the impossibility of keeping the law. And in Matthew, Jesus even goes further to show that impossibility in what he called the first and greatest commandment. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus tells us in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. For us, that would mean, listen now, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. All means there's no room left. So, this would mean loving God by every fiber of our being 24/7, by never having a thought about ourselves, which is just an impossible task for him. But rather than condemning us, even though he showed us of this impossibility, see, we skate over that. But yes, can we try with the power of the Holy Spirit to love God to the best of our ability, but we can never love him like he deserves to be loved, because we don't have the capacity. We're born sinful. But yet, and rather than condemning us, because we're born sinful, because we have the alienation, the natural born alienation from him, he made a way for us before we were born in the name of Jesus. So, that scripture is not to be taken lightly. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That should make you wonder, can I actually accomplish that without any help from God? Just some crucial differences between Christianity and other religions. And the primary one, even though I use the word, for lack of a better word at times, Christianity is not a religious system. It's not about the machinations and the dynamics of, you know, sitting in, on the right pew, or, you know, saying the right thing, or whatever the case may be, however, you know, your worship service may be conducted. It's not a religion that follows a certain practice other than the practice that God has laid down in his word, but a relationship. And it's a relationship that he initiated in God and that he maintained. In John 15:16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, he's talking to a disciple, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that lasts. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now, there's a lot in that. If I were to unpack that, there's a lot in that. But for the purposes of this conversation, what I'm saying is that Christianity is not a religious system. It's not something that we've been initiated. It's not something that we can even maintain. Jesus told his disciples that he chose them and appointed them. They would bear fruit. Just like us, their eyes had to be opened. just like us. They had to be given the gift of the faith, just like us. The Holy Spirit comes and sits in them and with them to help them in their Christian walk. So he, like he told them, he meant physically then, as well as spiritually. But for all of us now that Jesus has gone back to heaven, he still has chose us and decided who will receive the gift of faith. Now, if you don't believe me, that faith is a gift, then we'll go to Ephesians 2. And we'll look at its verses 8 through 10. Verse 8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works." In other words, not by anything that we can do, "so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Before we were even born, the gift of faith was reserved for us. It was reserved for me, for Stan. It was reserved for you, whatever your name may be. So it's not something we've done. It's the goodness of the Lord. Christians, another thing that makes Christians different is that Christians believe that mankind was created specifically to have a relationship with God. You notice I keep using the word relationship. It's not knowledge of. It's a relationship with. Christians believe that we were created specifically for that purpose, but sin separates all men from him. In Genesis 1, if you just put our scriptures together and pay attention, close attention to the things we read, the things that I'm telling you, we can clearly see they're true. In Genesis 1, 26 and 21, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, that's a big unpack because there's so much in there, but we're going to keep moving, and we can certainly talk about that. And if anybody wants to DM me and suggest that, feel free to do it, and we'll see if we can get it done. But the scripture tells us now, for the purpose of this lesson, and God said, "Let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female he created. Now, so God has created us. God has given us, had an intention for us, that we would have dominion over this earth, over this sea, and the fowl of the air, and the cattle, from the air to the fish to the sea. We would have dominion over everything. We were created in his image. There's no other creature that exists today, that lives today, that's created like a human being. No one has the soul. No animal has the soul that a man has. No animal, and we're an animal, has the connection with the sovereign God that we do. And yes, we have a spirit. And he has a spirit, a Holy Spirit, and we have a spirit. And those spirits are, we're the only creation of God that has this type of spirit. So, yes, we were created in his image. We were created according to his blueprint. But, as we see in Genesis 3, verse 11, it's comical, basically. The Lord says to Adam, "Who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" See, this point in Genesis 3, verse 11, they have sinned against God. And this is how we vicariously become sinful. This is how God considers us unclean and that our goodness is all just like a filthy rag. The reason being is because of what Adam and Eve did. When they sinned against God and the glory of God fell from them and they could see that they were naked, because prior to that it didn't even matter. When the veil of the glory of God fell from them and they could actually see good and evil, at that point, we had severed the relationship with our Lord. But he had a plan. And he goes on to tell about the plan, even in that scripture. I didn't include that in this lesson. And the plan was Jesus. See, all that we go through is not really about us. We're living it out. But this is a battle between, because everything is orchestrated through the spiritual realm. So this is a battle between good and evil. We're just in the way, because we're God's glory. He created us. And for some reason or another that I can't quite, I can surmise, but I can't quite accurately figure out through reading scripture, is that now that the devil has been removed from his honor, and he's got his cronies, demons, with him, why do they keep continuously trying to antagonize God's people? And as a result, antagonize the Lord when the battle's already been won. So this is what we have to bear. This is why Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned. We're vicariously, it's like when, you know, you have three children in the house and the oldest is supposed to watch them. If the younger one does something, the older one usually gets a spanking too. They may all get one because they're vicariously in the parent's mind one. They're all responsible. And this is how God has done it. In his sovereignty, he's decided that in Romans 3:23, which he talks about, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Philippians 2:6-8, you know, scriptures explaining God's plan to have his son Jesus do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Verse 6 says, who, talking about Jesus, talking Philippians 2, the 6th chapter, 6th verse, who, being in very nature God, now this is one a disputable scripture, what this means. I take it literally. Who, being in very nature God, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a, and I'm injecting the word, human servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Scripture tells us clearly that the wages of sin are death. And Adam and Eve sinned against God, and they did that. They died spiritually. They were supposed to live forever. They were supposed to, what we look for in heaven, they actually lived in. They were living in heaven, here on earth. Which it will be again, here on earth. So, that's the uniqueness of the Christian story. It's a good story about a good, loving God that in his defeat, in his preparation for the wages of spiritual, the wages of the spiritual battle that still rages on. Well, it's really not a battle anymore because the battle has been won. Jesus died and was resurrected for our good. But the devil is still on a rampage. He's still able to, you know, bother us. He's still able to, you know, influence us. He's still able to cause bad, negative things in our lives. He's still defiant of the living God. He still doesn't want us to believe in the Jesus story. See, folks, in Christianity, just to say you know God, like to say you know Buddha, or to say you know any other stone figure, is not the same thing. Because the God that we claim to know, we learn in our day-to-day living as we walk with God and have knowledge of God and spend time in meditation on God and reading God's Word and living this life, the life that we've been dealt. When God is our God, for real, then we take time to spend with him like we would anyone else. How can a man or woman get to know someone that they meet if they never spend any time together. They can talk about each other, but they don't really know each other. And so the Christian relationship is about beginning to know God, to trust in Him with the daily days of your life. And then that's when the reality of Him really becomes evident in your life. The promise. There's a promise that God has made. He's made this promise, and He's going to maintain this promise. You know, I say this because sometimes when I talk about these things, I realize that, you know, the things that I'm talking about are gifts from God to even be able to understand what it is that I'm truly trying to say. And I know this is going to fall a lot of times on deaf ears. But I have to say it anyway for the record. Back to our Philippians scripture where we just recited from. We're going to go back to Philippians to the second chapter. And we're going to pick up on verse 9. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that's a promise. That whether we believe it or not now, and if we can't believe it, we don't believe that we can pray for it. We can pray to be able to, God, give me the gift of faith so that I can believe this story. Because now it sounds like foolishness to me, but help me. And that's where I was at one point in my life. I knew that there was a God. I always believed that there was a God, but did I know Him? No. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in talking about someone that you know about and talking about someone that you know. Almost all religions advocate being a good person, doing good things for others, not having harmful habits, etc. All of these are in part, are in fact, a part of the Christian experience too. However, the main difference between Christianity and any other religion is Christianity, again, I know I'm sounding redundant, is not a religion, but a relationship. A relationship with God the Father. Our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. God initiated it, as we saw in the Genesis. Jesus made it possible, as we know. He obeyed, He died, and He was resurrected. And the Holy Spirit, who now comes to sit with those that have this faith, maintained it. So, those are the uniquenesses in this, in a summation. I know it's quick and fast and furious, but those are the things that if anybody ever wondered what makes Christianity different to the people that even believe what they believe, these are the facts. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, His Word. Yes, it was written by man, but we believe that He protected it. We believe that Jesus, being God Himself, but having a different function in our lives, is our Savior. We believe that He actually did come to earth in the form of a man, and that He did die, and that He did live the perfect life, and that He's now up there interceding on our behalf. We believe now that the Spirit of God has come with us and dwells with us to help us from day to day. And those are the things. Those are the things that make Christianity unique. God bless you.